Praise God. Hallelujah. First Peter and chapter 5. We're going to be looking at something very simple this morning. And also something we all know. We all quote the scripture several times. Some of us quote it many times in a day. But we have to understand the importance of what Peter said by the Holy Spirit when he wrote this epistle, and to see how it is applicable to you and I in our generation, and how we ought to respond with obedience to what God has said to us, even in this passage of Scripture. It is simple, it is concise, but it is very, very important. It can make the difference between you and I gaining victory over the adversary, or losing our ground in the battle. You see, we have to understand that we are all in a spiritual battle. If you are a Christian, you are in a spiritual battle. We are not civilians, so to say. We are soldiers for Christ. Remember, Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said, "Thou therefore, my son, endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ." Reminding Timothy that he was in a warfare. And if we remember what the Bible says also in Revelation chapter 12, the war that you and I are in started before we were born. It started in heaven. The devil decided to rebel against God and started a war in heaven. And Archangel Michael fought against the devil and cast him out of heaven together with his angels, who are now demons and principalities and wicked spirits here on earth. And the very last verse in Revelation chapter 12 tells us that the devil has come to make war against those who hold the testimony of Jesus. You see, that's why you and I are in a war of here. The devil who started war in heaven and could not prevail there, and God cast him out, came to the earth, and is making war with all of mankind. He has no respect for any persons. Even those who serve the devil is making war against them. You have to understand, that's his nature. The devil doesn't have the fruit of the Spirit. He doesn't know anything called peace. Whether you serve him or not, he will make war against you. That's just his nature. He's a wicked spirit. He has no good thing to offer anybody. He can kill even the people that serve him anytime. He has come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But thank God, you and I that are Christians, we are not under the authority and the dominion of Satan. We have been translated from the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, in whom we have the redemption. You see, we already have the redemption in Christ, the forgiveness of our sins through his blood. And that same blood is one of the weapons that God has given us as the church to use in gaining victory over the devil. Right there in Revelation chapter 12, again, as we declared this morning, the prayer warfare in the blood, we overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And so we have to know our own place of victory in Christ. We are in the world, we are not of the world. And we have to understand that while we are in this world and we are faced with all the warfare and all the trouble that the devil will bring against us, because we are in the world, in the territory where he is presently, that is, the devil is presently running the affairs, the wicked and evil affairs of the world, we have to understand how to take our place of victory and maintain the victory that already belongs to us. We are not just trying to gain the victory. We already have it. But the devil is trying to steal what belongs to us. So we are to stand our ground and resist him and keep ourselves in that place of victory that Jesus has already put us. So see yourself as somebody in a warfare, but you already have the victory, and your duty is to maintain the place of victory and not allow the devil to gain ground in your own territory. Remember, Bible says, give no place to the devil. Give no place to the devil. In other words, you're already in a place of victory. So don't let the devil come and take you out of that place. So our duty is to maintain our place of victory in Christ. And how do we do that? That's what we are going to be looking at this morning by the grace of God. We are already a victorious people in Christ Jesus. Whatsoever is born of God, Bible says, overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So if I don't walk by faith, I give place to the devil. If I don't walk in obedience to the instruction that God has given me in his word, I give place to the devil. I allow the devil to come into my territory to rob me of what belongs to me already in Christ Jesus. That's the way it works. That's the way it works. Give no place to the devil. The devil is a spirit of disobedience, and he does everything to get us to leave our place of obedience in the Lord and move into the arena of disobedience where he can whip us. See, the devil knows that as long as you and I are walking in obedience to God, he has no room whatsoever. So it will put pressure on us to get us to disobey God, because the moment we disobey God, we run into the territory of the devil. It's the spirit of disobedience. And that's why the Bible teaches us as Christians to always be sober and to be vigilant. Be on the alert always. Don't let the devil get you to disobey God, because he has no new tricks. His nature is that of disobedience. And he will try as much as possible to use his cunning craftiness to get us to walk in disobedience to the word of God, knowing that the moment we disobey God, we miss out on the blessing. You see, the devil is the same one that went in the Garden of Eden. He knew how God made that beautiful garden, that garden that was blessed with everything that you could ever imagine, and then put man there just to look after the garden. So man was blessed. Adam was blessed right at the beginning. He was fully blessed. He had no lack of anything. He had full wisdom, full knowledge, full understanding, full provision. In fact, when he named the animals, as Bible says, he called them by the name that God himself would have called each one of them. How did he know? Because he was one with God in obedience at that point in time. The wisdom of God could flow through him because he was connected with God in obedience. Every time we walk in obedience, we are super connected with God, and the devil has no place. He has no place whatsoever. But when we disobey God, we disconnect ourselves from him, because God is obedience. The devil is disobedience. So when we connect with obedience, the devil disobedience has no place. But when we disconnect from obedience, then we are leaning towards disobedience. That's the way it works. It's so simple. That's why we must not complicate the word of God. We must not complicate the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has brought us simplicity. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 15 that we should not let anyone beguile us from the simplicity that is in Christ. Before Christ, we were toiling just as Adam had to toil in disobedience. But now that we are in Christ, we are restored back to the original plan of God, which was the rest. Because Adam was having rest in the garden, he wasn't toiling. But when he disobeyed, toil came. Toil is under the curse. Because now he was separated from God, the glory of God left him, and he was left to his own human nature in a fallen state. And every time we walk in the human nature in a fallen state, we are insufficient. But when we walk in obedience to God in the Spirit, we have the sufficiency of God Himself. And the devil knows these things. And he walks round the clock. Remember, he doesn't sleep. He walks round the clock. Even when you are now sleeping, the devil is at work planning a strategy in order to get us to disobey God. He knows that as Christians, he has no authority over us. He can't just barge in on us at will. He has no place. But he will put pressure on us to disobey God, and thereby we ourselves are the ones forfeiting the place of victory that God has put us. We are losing the ground of victory by our disobedience. And so we all need to wake up as Christians and walk in the truth of God and maintain our place of victory in Christ, not just occasionally, but at all times. So we are in a warfare, but thank God that we already have the victory because Jesus won the war for us. He won the war for us. Just as Michael also won against the devil in heaven, Jesus came to the earth to win the war for us through his death, his burial, and resurrection. And now he conquered death, and we have life eternally in him. So let's live up to our own responsibility, which is to live by faith or obedience to the word of God. So 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 8 very, very closely together with verse 9. But for the sake of context, let us pick it from at least maybe about verse 6. From verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Let's pause for a moment. Look at that very last phrase in verse 5. The same afflictions. Please underline that in your Bible. The same afflictions. The word afflictions there literally means troubles. The same troubles. You are going through trouble as a Christian. Well, every Christian is going through trouble also. Your own trouble may not be exactly my own trouble, but I have my own trouble too, just like you have your own trouble. Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that we are troubled on every side. So that's the truth about us as Christians, because the devil is causing trouble for every Christian. He even caused trouble for Jesus while he was here on earth. And if you read the book of Acts, all those apostles of Jesus, while they were here on earth doing what God called them to do, the devil caused them trouble everywhere they went. He just caused them trouble everywhere they went. There was not one of them that the devil didn't cause trouble. Cause trouble for them. And Jesus told us that as his servants, we are going to go through what he went through too. Because a servant is not above his master. So when you are going through trouble, don't look at your situation as being strange. In fact, you should just thank God and say, well, the scripture has been fulfilled in my life. I have troubles. You have troubles. If you come to me and you tell me you have troubles, I'll say, well, praise God, my brother. Praise God, my sister. God bless you. I see that you are a genuine Christian because the word of God is being fulfilled in your life. And for you to know, I'm a Christian too, so I have my own troubles also. So you pray for me, I pray for you. Encourage me, I encourage you. We are all brethren together. Because Bible says the same afflictions. You see, God cannot lie. The same afflictions. And when we understand these things, we will know that actually when trouble and trials and temptations come our way, we should be rejoicing. Is that not what James tells us? James chapter 1, my brethren, again talking to the church, my brethren, count it all joy. Not occasionally, always count it joy when you fall into diverse kinds of temptations. In other words, when the devil comes against you, because he's the tempter. In any area of your life, just start rejoicing. And may I submit here at this point, based on what the Word of God says, that if every one of us as Christians will simply obey the Word of God, the devil will know his time is up. That finally, these Christians have discovered the truth, that I have no power over them. That if they obey God, God will fight for them. Imagine what would happen if every Christian comes to church and says, praise God, I have plenty of trouble. Let's just dance today. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, let the praise and worship team sing, and we are just going to have a praise party because I have trouble. How many times have you heard that in the church? In fact, when you see people in trouble, it's like they want you to pity them. What's there to rejoice about? Let's have a sorrow party because I have problems. If there's anything called sorrow party. But you see, we need to wake up. We already have the victory. We need to maintain it by simply obeying God. That's all. When Jesus, in Matthew chapter 4, in the temptation, Bible tells us that when Jesus stood his ground in obedience by standing upon the word of God, it is written, it is written, it is written. What did Bible say happened at the end of the third temptation? The devil left him. He left him for a season. In other words, the devil knew that as long as somebody is standing in obedience to the word, he has no place. So he has to go and try again another time to see whether that person will drop their guard of obedience, and then they'll become vulnerable. He left Jesus. Jesus didn't struggle with the devil. He simply maintained the place of obedience, and then the spirit of disobedience had no choice but to leave. And then angels of God came, Bible says, and they ministered to Jesus. Psalm 103 verse 20, Bible says, the angels of God excel in strength. They hearken to the voice of the word of God to carry out his command. Every time you obey the word of God, angels will minister for you. They can do what you can do. You don't even need to call them specially. The moment you are in obedience, they go into action for you because they are on the side of God. When you side in with God, the angels will serve you. The Holy Spirit will back you up. God the Father from heaven will back you up. Jesus, seated on the right hand side of the Father, will back you up the moment you choose the way of obedience, because that's the way of the kingdom. But when you disobey God, then the Holy Spirit can't help you. The angels can't help you. God the Father can't help you. Jesus can't help you. Then the devil says, well, this is a target for me. He's separated from the way of God. I can pick him up. That's why you and I need to live daily conscious of this truth and make the right choices in our own lives daily. And then we can be in a position to help others when we ourselves have clearly seen the light. Because if we are blind, we can't help any other person. Isn't that so? Jesus said when the blind try to lead the blind, both of them will fall in the wrong place, in the ditch. But when you can see, at least you can help somebody who can see well and say, well, this is the way. This is the way. Just follow the way. You won't fall into the trap of the enemy. And that way is the word of God. I encourage you to just do what the Bible says. It may not make sense to you. It may look like, well, if you obey the word of God, everyone will call you a fool. But don't worry about what they call you. It's the devil trying to use them to get you to disobey God. You just make a choice to obey God. No matter how foolish your action may be, just obey God. Because Bible says the foolishness of God is wiser than man. The devil put pressure on you. If you obey the word of God, everyone will call you a fool. Can't you understand? People are watching you. Everyone is looking at what you do in this situation. And then you are saying you want to obey God. Then, you have a bad reputation. Immediately, everyone will say you are the biggest fool in town. Who cares about my reputation? No, all that matters is God. Because when I've spent my days here on earth, I'm going back to God. At that point in time, no man will be there with me. So why bother with them now? Let me focus on God. I want eternal reward. So I'm going to live my life to make sure I get the best possible crown when I get to heaven. I'm not going to allow the devil to rob me of the best reward that God has prepared for me in his kingdom. See, we have to understand these things. All right, now, look at verse 8. Be sober. That's where we are going this morning. Be sober, be vigilant. But then if you take it in context with what is written in verse 6, you begin to understand that the first thing you and I need to do as Christians is to keep our place of humility under the hand of God. And that simply means humble yourself to the word. Don't lean on your own human understanding. Jesus humbled himself to the word. Even though he is the word became flesh, he still humbled himself to be a doer of the word. Even in the temptation, he stood upon it is written. And every time people ask him, he said he came not to do his own will, but the will of the Father. In other words, he humbled himself to be a doer of the word. And that is why he was able to succeed. And now he's seated on the right hand side of the Father in glory. So the number one thing for us as Christians is to humble ourselves under the hand of God by obeying his word. Then God will back us up. Because God resists the proud, he gives grace to the humble, Bible says. Now be sober, verse 8, be vigilant. Be sober, be vigilant. Be sober, be vigilant. And the reason God is telling us to be sober and to be vigilant is written right there. It's for our own good. Some may say, they don't understand that I have many things to do. I'm a very busy person. I don't have time for all that, spiritual stuff. Well, if you don't have any time for those spiritual stuff, you'll soon learn the lesson when the devil takes you through the grindstone. You'll learn. Remember what Jesus said to Peter when he said to him, Peter, the devil has desired to have you so that he may sift you like wheat. See, the devil is no joke. When he takes someone that gives him the opportunity, by the time he finishes with that person also will know that something has really gone wrong. Look at how he tried to shake Job and finish him off. If it wasn't that God put a barrier against the life of Job, he would have killed him like he killed all his children. So the devil is no joke. Every time he comes, he means business. But he has no place in your life. He has no place in my life unless you and I give him. That's just the truth. So you don't need to be afraid of the devil. Actually, the devil is afraid of you. He will just use cunningness to get you to disobey God, knowing that the moment you disobey God, you lose your place of blessing, just like Adam lost his place of blessing in the garden. It's the same way. No new way. The same as it was in the beginning. So you and I need to be sober. We need to be vigilant because of the devil. It's as simple as that. Let's summarize it. Because there's a devil around who is plotting and planning every day against every one of us who are Christians and also against the people of the world. You see, the people of the world don't have any resistance against the devil. That's why I can go somewhere today and just cause earthquake and kill everybody in the town. You can just go to one village today and put sickness on everybody in that village and wipe them off. if there is no resistance against him. But you and I as Christians, we are the people that have the ability to resist him. Remember? Bible says, resist him by being steadfast in the faith. The people of the world can't resist the devil. That's why governments in the world today are confused. They don't know what to do. I mean, why they call themselves experts. But look at how foolish they are. They've allowed the devil to turn them into. They are now big fools. They are so confused. They will say one thing today, say another tomorrow. They don't even know what to say. They don't know what to do. Then they will come and then they'll blame one another. That's confusion. Because they don't know what to do. They have no resistance against the devil. But thank God you and I know what to do. We have the word of God. We have the shield of faith. We can stand our ground against the devil and put him in his place and keep him out of our own territory, just as Jesus, the head of the church, has already done. So we are the ones. In fact, all of creation in Romans chapter 8, Bible says, is waiting. Every creation of God is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. You and I as Christians, because we have the solution, we have the glory of God, we have the might of God, we have the wisdom of God, and all of creation depend on us to manifest what they all need to walk in the victory that God has prepared for man, particularly those who believe on Jesus as Savior and Lord. So we are to be sober, we are to be vigilant. What does this mean? It simply means this. Please write this down so when you are revising your notes. See, God is not wasting, it's not wasting our time by telling us to be sober or to be vigilant. To be sober, literally the word translated sober there means to be awake. Don't go to sleep spiritually. Be awake. Be awake. Don't go to sleep. Remember, Jesus said it was when men went to sleep that the enemy came and sowed tares amongst the good crops. You begin to understand what God is saying to us here? When you go to sleep spiritually, the devil will come into your territory. You won't even know he's already there. And it will mess things up. By the time you suddenly wake up, the damage is done. So don't allow that to happen. So be on your guard. So God is saying, be on your guard. Give no place to the devil. So stay awake spiritually. So be sober. And then be vigilant. Be vigilant. The word translated vigilant there means something similar to that word sober, but it brings up two other words that help to drive the truth home. To be vigilant means to be alert and watchful. Be alert, be watchful. So the first thing, if you are going to be alert and be watchful, you have to be awake. People who are asleep can't be alert. People who are asleep can't be watchful. So the first thing is you have to be awake spiritually. Don't go to sleep. Then the next thing is to ensure that your awakeness it's not idleness. Because somebody can be awake and still be idle. How many people know that that's true? You can be awake and be idle. So God is saying be awake, but don't be idle. So as you are awake, make sure that you are alert and you are watchful because of the devil. So in summary, therefore, God is saying to us that we should maintain a state of spiritual awakeness, spiritual alertness, and spiritual watchfulness. And how do we do that? That's what we are looking at this morning. It's not good to just have information. You have to understand how to apply the information to your life and profit thereby. See, the word of God is not just for us to memorize and go about quoting it. That doesn't profit anybody. It is when you understand what the word is saying and then you begin to apply it to your life, employing the wisdom of God in your daily dealings, that's when you are going to profit thereby. Remember, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, Bible tells us that every scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable. Key word, profitable. We are to profit from the word of God. We are to profit from the word of God. Don't just have a Bible. Don't just read the Bible. begin to apply the Bible to your life. Begin to ask God to give you a clear understanding of what He is saying in His word so that you may walk in the wisdom of God and profit thereby all your days. So how do we do this? But before we look at that, let's also hear directly from the mouth of Jesus, the head of the church. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 26. See what Peter said by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said to Peter himself and to James and John, the three disciples that were closest to him, the three disciples that Jesus took to places that other disciples didn't go with Jesus while he was alive. Remember, these three were the ones Jesus took to the Mount of Transfiguration. And all the other disciples did not even know that there was anything called transfiguration until after Jesus had died. Because Jesus told Peter, James, and John, don't tell any of the other disciples until after my resurrection. They saw the glory of Christ. They heard the voice of God on that mount. Peter said later, we are witnesses. We have the sure word of prophecy. We heard the voice, the glorious voice of God on that Mount of Transfiguration. We are living witnesses to the truth about Jesus, the Son of God. So these same three were with him in the Garden of Gethsemane, in the hour of his need, when the pain of sin was dawning upon his soul, and he said, hey, watch and pray with me. I need support now. Some of us think that pastors are superheroes. How many people know that pastors are human beings too? They need prayers just like you need prayers. They need everything just like you. Jesus, the head of the church, came to this world. He needed prayers. He asked his disciples, the closest to him, to watch and pray with him. But those ones fell asleep. They just left off. They didn't pray any prayer. They left Jesus alone. But thank God, Jesus knew how to agonize in the spirit. And the angels of God were there with him also to strengthen him. But then he said to them, please look at this now. What Jesus said to them, verse 41, Matthew chapter 26. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Please look at that very closely again. What Jesus is telling them is for their own good. He's saying to them, hey, Peter, James, John, watch and pray so that you don't fall. The word enter there means fall, because the tempter is around. And you must not fall into his temptation. So when he brings temptation against you, remain standing. Then he will have to go. You'll keep standing your ground in the place of obedience, and he can't steal your territory from you. So what happens if you don't watch, if you don't pray? Well, then the tempter is going to gain the upper hand, and you are going to fall. So every instruction of God is for our own good. God doesn't want us to fall into the hand of the enemy. He doesn't want us to become prey to the teeth of the enemy. The devil is going about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, but God doesn't want any of his children to fall as prey. That's why he has given us instructions. But if we don't obey him, then we'll fall as prey. And it won't be the fault of God. It's our own fault. It's our own fault. It's our own fault. It's our own fault. Because if we obey God, God has a responsibility to be faithful to those who are faithful to him. He will keep us. Not even one strand of the hair of our head will fall to the ground without his knowledge. That's how faithful God is. He pays attention to details. And that's why the devil puts pressure on us to get us to disobey God. Everything the devil does is just to get us to disobey God. It's the same thing he did in the Garden of Eden. All that he did was to get Eve to look at the tree in a new way other than the way God told her to look at it. So that Eve could disobey God together with Adam. That's all. And in the same way the devil works today, he will put pressure on me to get me to disobey God. He will say, for instance, look at that brother that stepped on your toe. Now you are hurting, but he is going about smiling. He doesn't even feel the pain you are feeling. Are you going to let him just be going about free? Why don't you square? I mean, just square up somehow. Even the score. Let him feel some pain too. Why should he be causing you this pain and then he's just enjoying his life? Cause him some pain in return. How many people know that that's how we all think in the flesh? And that's what will gratify us in the flesh. Okay, you cause me pain, I cause you pain in return. Tit for tat, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. We even quote scripture. But we don't understand that that one. Jesus has come to teach us a better way now. That don't do eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Now respond with the love of God. Don't react in the natural way anymore. Begin to respond with the love of God. When your enemy hunger, respond with the love of God and feed him. When your enemy is thirsty, respond with the love of God and give him to drink. Don't react in the flesh and say, oh, this my enemy is hungry. Well, I'm not the one that brought hunger to him, but I won't feed him. If he dies, that's his own business. It's not my fault. He's just hungry. Well, it's not my business. No, God says give him food so that he doesn't die. Hallelujah. So, Jesus said, watch and pray again for a reason. So that you don't fall into the hand of the enemy. Let's just put it that way, because the enemy is the tempter. Now, let us write this down. Then you can go home and spend some more time meditating in what God is saying to us this morning. Just a couple of points, because I want to make it as simple as possible for us to follow. Number one. Maintaining a state of spiritual awakeness, alertness, and watchfulness. Again, that's what it means to be sober and be vigilant. So we are to maintain that state. So maintaining it, please write this down, requires a personal choice to always set your heart. Again, maintaining a state of spiritual awakeness, alertness, and watchfulness requires a personal choice to always, always set your heart on the things of the spirit rather than the things of the flesh. That's where it begins from. Where you set your heart will determine your outcoming life. Out of the heart are the issues of life, Jesus said. I mean, in the book of Proverbs, the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence. And Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So what you fill your heart with is what would determine the course of the direction of your life. Whether you go in the flesh or in the spirit, all comes from your heart. Jesus said the things that defile a man are things that come from inside of him, not from outside. That's why you and I can't blame the devil. The devil is not inside of us. It's outside. The one who is in us is Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Greater is he who is in us than he that is in the world. So what is defiling us is coming from our own heart. The choices we make, which are choices of disobedience to the word of God. Those are the things that defile us. So in front of that, please write the scriptures and look them up when you get home. But I'll briefly, while you are writing them, I'll say what key things are there. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 to 8. Their Bible tells us the difference between being carnally minded and being spiritually minded. and helps us to understand that when we are carnally minded, in other words, when we set our heart or mind on the things of the flesh, that's the things of man in the natural state, which is a fallen state, then we'll set ourselves in opposition to God. We'll become enemies of God because we cannot please God in the flesh. So we have to set our minds or our hearts on the things of the Spirit in order to please God. So there's a choice, personal choice right there. And then secondly, Colossians chapter 3 verses 1 to 2. Their Bible says, if we are risen with Christ, we should set our affection. In other words, our heart and our passion should be set on Christ, who is seated at the right hand side of God, not on the things of this world. Oh, doesn't God know I need the things of this world? Of course he knows that I need those things, but my heart is not set on them at the expense of God. That's what he's saying. It's a question of priority. God knows I have to go to work. God knows I have to pay my bills. God knows I have to buy food. God knows I have to do all those things. But he doesn't want me to focus on those things and neglect him. He wants me to put him first, and then those things, he will get involved along with me to ensure that he is the one that is managing my life. How many people know that when God is your manager, your life is good? I don't know about you. I can't manage my life. I'll mess it up. But when God manages me, woo, wonderful. When God was the manager of Adam in the Garden of Eden, it was a good experience for him. God will just come down in the cool of the day and have sweet fellowship with him. Adam just goes about the garden, dressing it. He didn't even toil. He didn't plant any of those things. They were there. His duty is just to maintain it and then appreciate all the beauty around him. No sin, no problem. He didn't have any sickness. He didn't have any pain. He didn't have any sorrow. Nothing like that. God was the manager of his life. But when he decided to become his own manager, look at what happened. And it's the same thing with you and I today. When God manages us, everything is going to be nice. But when we manage ourselves, not a good experience. Oh, God have mercy on us. And then thirdly, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And I want you to, in front of that in bracket, right, Matthew chapter 16, verse 23. I will explain why I said you should do that, so that when you are studying your note, you'll understand why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, that we should seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, because the kingdom of God is opposed to the kingdom of the enemy or the kingdom of this world. And Jesus, in Matthew chapter 16, said that Satan, that's the devil, does not savor the things that are of the kingdom of God, but those that are of men. That's why if we are carnally minded, we fall into the hands of the devil. But when we are spiritually minded, we are on God's own side. To be spiritually minded simply means to set our heart on the word of God. This is spirit. The words that Jesus spoke to us, they are spirit and they are life. He's not saying we should close our eyes like some foolish people do in the world. Without knowing the devil fooled them. Just close your eyes and imagine that you are just at peace with yourself and with your surrounding. Just empty yourself from inside out. And then when they're emptying themselves, the demons will enter them. They call that meditation. You better don't join them in doing that. You go to your own Bible and be like, how many people remember what Isaac was doing when Rebecca was coming to him? He went to the field to meditate. Meditation in the Bible is thinking upon the word of God. Philippians 4 verse 8. Think on those things. He didn't say empty yourself and just empty your mind. That's the devil trying to get you to open up for him to come in. Remember, Jesus said, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man and the place is empty, it goes to bring more demons to enter into the person because it's empty. No, you don't empty yourself. Fill yourself up with God. You can't survive with emptiness of mind. No, you need your mind full of God so that there's no place for the devil. Give no place to him. To meditate for us as Christians is to think upon the word of God, like God said to Joshua, Joshua, you don't let this book of the law depart from your mouth, but meditate in it day and night. In other words, think upon my word day and night. That's how to meditate. And then God will fill you up and the devil will not have any place. See, the devil is a tactician. He told the people in the world, just empty yourself. Empty, empty. And after some time, they begin to hear all kind of voices. Some of them will say they had a voice telling them to go and kill. Well, it's because they were emptying themselves and demons were entering into them. Don't empty yourself. Say to your neighbor, don't empty yourself. Fill yourself up with God. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what Bible says. Bible never says be empty. It says be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the word of God. Then the devil will have no place. Those are the two things that resist the devil all the time. The word of God and the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So, again, it's a question of priority. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things will be added. And then, again, Matthew 16:23 helps us to understand that the devil does not really lead us in the way of God's kingdom. He does not do those things. He thinks more about the carnality of the world and the system of this world because he's the one responsible for all the evil. So don't fall into his trap. Finally, please write this down. So how then do we do these things? How do we maintain ourselves in this state of spiritual alertness and awakeness and watchfulness? Please write this down. The way to do so is to diligently meditate in the word of God and pray always. That's all. No more, no less. Don't even add anything to it. Just leave it like that. That is perfect. You see, God is perfect. If you try to add to it, you make what God gave you as perfect resources to become imperfect. Many of us think we need a long list of things to do, and then we mess it up because we are leaning on our own human understanding. Just do the simple thing God has said. God is perfect. That's what will give you the perfect result. Don't reason with your own human mind. Just understand that God knows what he's saying, knows what he's doing, has perfect knowledge, and God is a victorious God. He never loses. So if you follow his instruction, you get results. That's all. Don't complicate it for yourself. In front of that, please write the scriptures, and we'll look at them and close. Jude 20. Acts chapter 6. Verse 4, and then you may have Joshua 1:8 that I mentioned a short while ago. Just meditating in the word of God will make you to prosper in the ways of God in your life. And you have good success. Success that will not bring you sorrow. Because the blessings of this world, Bible says, eventually bring sorrow to those who have them. That's why you find sometimes some people are billionaires, but they are full of sorrow. Some of them can't even sleep at night. They have to inject them to sleep. I don't know about you, that's a curse. I'd rather give away the £1 billion so that I can have good sleep. Because what's the point of having billion and I can't even sleep? They have to inject me to sleep. And they call that prosperity? No, it's not. The true prosperity of God will give you peace. No sorrow. When God makes you a billionaire, that billionaire will be a good billionaire. Peaceful billionaire, enjoying the billions and using it even for the glory of God and going everywhere telling people how good God is. That's the blessing of the Lord. Not the one that can't sleep at night. And then eventually they are destroyed. Some of them even commit suicide. Because Bible says all these things is there in the Bible. The prosperity of fools will destroy them. The blessings of the Lord is what maketh rich and has no sorrow with it. That's why you have to get it God's own way. Don't try to use the system of this world. It will bring you sorrow. When you get it God's way, it will bring you peace. And also, there will be peace for your children after you in their generations. Because the generation of the upright, Bible says, shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness shall endure forever. Jude 20, Let's read together. And I encourage you, when you get home, please read the old chapter of Jude so you can get it in context, because we are living in the days that Jude saw ahead of time. We are seeing exactly what Jude said. It's all around us today. So we just have to go back to the Word of God and get wisdom on how to live in these last days. Now, how do we live? Against the background of all that is happening, again, study the old book right when you get home, and you see that actually this book of Jude is applicable to us today. But then in verse 20, it's talking to the church. It's talking to the people of God. But you, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Why should you be doing that? For the reason mentioned in verse 21. To maintain yourself, keep yourself in the love of God. The place where God has put you in Christ Jesus. The place of your blessing, the place of your peace, the place of your joy, the place of your abundance of prosperity, the place of all the good things of the kingdom of God. Because Jesus brought them for us here on earth. That's why Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. He came with the fullness of the glory of God for you and I to partake of. No wonder the Bible says, my God shall supply all your need. According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's how to keep ourselves in that place of full provision. We don't lack anything, just as Adam never lacked anything in the Garden of Eden until he disobeyed God. Keep yourself. Keep yourself there. So it's your choice now. God has done his part. Now you choose to obey God and keep yourself where God put you. Don't be like Adam that lost the place that God put him in the garden. Because Bible says God put Adam in the Garden of Eden. Now God has put us in the place called love in Christ. The place of God himself, because God is love. And he said, you do this and keep yourself there, and no devil can come and mess you up. But what happens if we disobey God? Well, that's our fault. So by building ourselves up in our most holy faith, in other words, build yourself up in the Word of God. That's the basis of our faith as Christians. Faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So you have to set yourself on a mission day by day to spend time in the Word of God, no matter how busy you are, and to spend time in prayer, no matter how busy you are. Get into the Word of God, meditate in it day and night, and spend time praying in the Holy Ghost. Oh, I love that praying in the Holy Ghost. I love it because that means I can pray anytime, no matter what I'm doing. When I'm in the bathroom, I can pray because I'm praying the Holy Ghost. I can go process. I can be in the kitchen and pray in the Holy Ghost. It doesn't disturb any other thing I'm doing. Because when I'm doing so, I'm building up myself, as Bible says, in the strength of God. He that prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4. But the devil will tell you, well, you don't have time to pray. You are too busy to pray. Well, you better know that you can never be too busy to pray, because you can pray in the Holy Ghost all day long, no matter what else you are doing. How many of us know that we don't use our spirit when we go to work? Have you ever thought of that? You don't use your spirit at all. And when you go to school as a student, you don't use your spirit. All you use is your mind and your body. Your spirit is not involved in all those things. So you can employ your spirit in communion with God in prayer while you are doing those other things that you do on a daily basis. But the devil says, oh, you don't have time, because that's religion. For me to pray, I have to look for a place. And then a place where I can, if nobody else is there, so I don't disturb them. Then I can kneel down and close my eyes. And on bended knees I come. Oh God, on bended knees. Oh, prayer, your servant. But oh God, but I don't have much time on this bended knee. I have something to do. I'll see you later. Oh. That's the devil. Give people wrong doctrine. Well, while you are doing whatever you are doing, you can be going cross telema or making melody in your heart to the Lord. I say, oh God, you are my wisdom as I do this work today. Oh God, oh, your spirit of excellence will help me do an excellent job at work today. Oh glory, hallelujah. Oh, I love you, Lord. You are in me. You are with me. You never leave me nor forsake me. That's part of prayer. And that's part of praise. Doesn't disturb anything else you're doing. All right. Acts chapter 6, verse 4. And let's pray. Excuse me. Acts chapter 6, verse 4. Thank God for the early church. They had the revelation of the simplicity that was in Christ. And they did not allow the devil to rob them of it. So again, it's your responsibility to keep yourself where God has put you. The devil will try to get you off. He will try to get you off like he tried, like he succeeded in getting Adam out of the garden. He will try to get you out of that place where God put you, in the love of God in Christ. And Bible says nothing can separate you from that love. The devil knows. Even principalities and powers, Romans chapter 8 tells us, Paul said, is persuaded that nothing, no devil can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So if you stay in that love, the devil has failed. No matter what he brings against you, he's wasting his time. So he knows. So he will try to get you out of it like he got man out of the garden. But you keep yourself there. So he tried to get the early church. He tried to get Peter and Co. out of it. But they were wiser than the devil. And you and I need to be wiser than the devil in our generation too. Verse 4. Again, read it in context from verse 1. Because the devil in that period of time, the early church, the devil tried to cause division in the church. It's the same old serpent. It will cause division all day long, everywhere it goes. It will cause division in the church, cause division in the home, cause division in the family, cause division amongst friends, cause division in the workplace. Because he knows that once there is division, there will be room for him to come and cause damage. A house divided against itself cannot stand. Now, he tried to cause division in the early church, but those ones were wiser than him. Look at verse 4. But we will give ourselves continually. Please underline the key word there, continually. That's the key word. They didn't say, well, we'll pray when we have time. We'll read the Bible when we are less busy. They said we'll be consistent in doing it. Okay, this matter of argument and confusion in the church, that's not a business for us. Let's appoint people to look after that one and sort it out so that we don't stop doing what we should be doing. If they had stopped doing that, you and I would not have become Christians today. They would have finished all of them off and God would not have been able to back them up. Because for God to back any of us up, we have to obey him. Thank God those people obeyed the instruction Jesus gave to them. And they continue steadfastly in the word and in prayer. In the word and in prayer. In the word and in prayer. In the word of God and in prayer. Let me specify that so that we don't say any word. In the word of God as it is written. Just like Jesus himself said, it is written, it is written, it is written. Don't add to it. Don't try to modernize it. The word of God is not old. Because God is not old. The word of God is new every morning because God and his word are one. God, he is eternal. His word is eternal. God is unchanging. His word is unchanging. God is almighty. The word of God is almighty. There is nothing the word of God cannot accomplish for you if you obey it. This word is medicine to all our flesh, Bible says. Let's bow our hearts before the Lord this morning. One on one. Be awake. Be alert. Be watchful. That is the instruction God has given to us as his children while we are in this world. You won't find that written concerning the new kingdom where we are going. There will be no need to be alert because there is no devil there, no enemy there, no unclean thing there. So we see that it is instruction for this present life, this world, because of the adversary, the devil. Now, you respond to that in your own heart. You see, everything starts with a choice making. Bible says Daniel purposed in his own heart that he would not allow himself to be defiled by the king's menu that was sacrificed to idols. He would choose to obey God. And because of that, look at how God blessed Daniel. Look at how God promoted Daniel. Look at how God filled Daniel up with wisdom and understanding, just because he honored God. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So you make your own choice right now. You see, God knows we need his grace to obey him. He knows. He knows we can't do it without him. And he's waiting on us as much as we say we are waiting on him. He's waiting on us to make the right choices from a genuine heart, a sincere heart, because he can see our heart. He said, if you are willing. So willingness of heart first, and then obedience will follow after. And then God will come and bless you with his goodness. So go ahead, make your choice one-on-one with the Lord. Forget about anyone else right now. One-on-one with the Lord. Talk to him from your heart. And say, Father, I thank you for your instruction to me. I receive it as you speaking to me personally. That I should be sober. I should be vigilant. Because there's an enemy around. And I must not give place to him. Therefore, Lord, help me. Give me grace to do what I need to do in order to be spiritually minded and not carnally minded, which is to spend time in your word and in prayer in the Holy Ghost day and night. Give me the grace. Remind me every moment of the day that I need to maintain my state of spiritual alertness no matter what I'm doing. At work, at home, on the job, at school, when I go to the supermarket, everywhere I go, oh Lord, you said you will bring to my remembrance by your spirit who dwells in me the things that I've heard from you. I'm asking you to bring to my remembrance that I may stay sober and vigilant everywhere that I go. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping me to meditate in the word of God, even while I'm walking by the roadside, and while I'm seated at home, just as you told the children of Israel to do when they sit at the dinner table, when they are at home, when they are walking by the gate, they should put the scripture everywhere, so that it may be as frontlet between their eyes, and they may store it in their heart, to think upon your word all day long, and to pray in the spirit at all times. Thank you for helping me to do it, Lord. Oh, help me, Lord. I cannot do it without you. Give me the grace. Give me the grace to do it, Lord. In Jesus' name. I believe I received the grace from you by faith. And I'm thanking you, oh God, for helping me to live this life of victory in you, now and always, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, after you've done that for yourself, you see, as Jesus said, when we remove the log in our own eyes, we can see clearly to help others. Now, let's pray for our fellow brethren. Pray for everyone else in your household. Pray for everyone else in your family. Pray for everyone else in your church here, your local church. Those of you who are joining us on Zoom, pray for your local church wherever you are. And also pray for the body of Christ everywhere, all over the face of the earth, that God will quicken every one of us in his church and bring us back to the place of alertness, that we will all hear the voice of the word of God saying to us, as it is written in Ephesians chapter 5, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Help us to hear the voice of the word of God right now. Everyone in the body of Christ calling us to awake. To awake, to arise from spiritual deadness and walk in the light of Christ. Thank you for it, Lord. Oh, thank you. For you are faithful to keep every one of us as your flock. We give you the glory, mighty God, that none of us will fall prey to the teeth of the enemy in any area of life. Keep us in that place of your love by your grace, O God. And help us to keep ourselves in the garden of blessing where we belong in Christ Jesus. We give you all the glory, mighty God, in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. Praise God. Wave your hands to the Lord and thank him. In Jesus' name, amen.